Hi, it's Tim Wiesner after the show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, inaugurating a guiding narrative, we want to address all beings. All beings will be bringing in many voices again to include and address. So, inaugurating a guiding narrative. So, I welcome longtime astro ally Heather Rowan Robbins. We go so far back, that we further open the portals for the guiding mythological to suffuse the political as ritual theater, participatory, magnetizing, animating, and spiraling forth the participatory astro-mythos story that we are electing or inaugurating, right? Because the word inaugurate comes from the augur, the diviner who walked out into nature and would read nature's patterns, whereby nature would reveal the appropriate leader, and then they would be inaugurated. Everything has meaning. So we shall honor moral complexities. So yes, critique. Native American Flanagan will be the next governor of Minnesota, knock on wood, right, who opposed the pipeline. We'll address that. And Walz chose her. So spiral dance to eventual goodness. It's like, wait for it. So we want to honor the July 21st full moon behind us to the August 4th new moon just behind us, which resonates James Baldwin. We're going to invite him in and his ancestral guiding form to the August 19th full moon, the convention to the November 5th election, and honoring psychic self-defense for all beings. So Heather Rowan Robbins is a practical, intuitive, choice-oriented astrologer, yes, interfaith minister, and author of the Star Codes book and Star Codes Astro Oracle Deck and other books, the weekly Star Codes forecast, and contributes to the Wee Moon calendar. She organizes the Shining Mountains Grove for the Order of Bards. Oh, why don't I know about that? Oviats and Druids. Oh, the Bards, Ovitz, and Druids, and has an online global practice based in Montana, rowanrobbins.com. Welcome, Heather.
Welcome. Thank you very much. It's so good to be in cahoots with you yet again.
It is.
As we have
it is.
Over the years.
Over the years, way back to the White Light Bookstore in Providence, Rhode Island, and just a shout out to ancestor John Monger, the kindest Scorpio I've ever known. Just everybody, because we want to, we need to invite in everybody. So just to situate ourselves right now, here we are, everybody. And we will be doing quite a lot of astro-mythology. And if that's not your language, just let it wash over you. We will aspire to translate, there we go, as we go into useful pertinence. So the sun in Leo today is at 16 plus Leo, which is a volunteer church choir. That's us. That's all of us.
Yes,
all
us.
Of us.
Yeah.
Right. And it's got a quincunx, right, down a quirky angle down to Saturn in Pisces. So I love this Leo-Pisces conversation inside us and in all of culture, which is let the Leo theater display be based in deep dedication to collective well-being, everybody, right? Is that in accord with yourself?
Absolutely.
And and then we honor psychic self-defense, and we know that astrology is descriptive. You know, the word disaster means when we pit our petty wills against the larger pulse, that's a disaster. And then the antidote is we gather to consider. Consider means with the stars, so we're here considering.
And to constellate, to be one with the stars.
Constellate is beautiful. Yes, we constellate community. So, as I'd mentioned to you backstage, you know, I am often humbled, and so yes, we can feel. You know, I think the Mercury stationing now is like Tiffany Aiken, the Great Witch, in Terry Pratchett's books, says first thoughts. Second thoughts, better. Third thoughts, even better. It's like, wait for it. Don't react. That's expensive, right? Because I got into all kinds of silly nonsense on Facebook going, no, don't. And it does, you know, the snark of self and others does stay with one. So we're here to cleanse. You know, Neptune says, solve, coagulate, dissolve, and reimagine. What is that? Is there any impediments to kinship? But I love Mercury retrograde overhead now. I mean, again, I'm happy with retrograde.
Conjunct Venus.
Conjunct Venus at 4 Virgo. And Mercury's image is black and white children playing happily together. And that was prominent in the chart when George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin. I think Mars was stationing there. And it's like, no. So it reminds
exactly
us
what not to do.
Right. It behooves us to animate the desirable being so generously proffered to us, lest we leave it by default to the dementors or those possessed by, you know, greed and whatever, you know, fill in the blank there. So, yes, apologies to all innocent people, parts of myself for whom I was grumpy, you know, going, and there we go, dissolve all that, there we go. And then rededicate, right? It's always, you know, dedication. So let me
How do you feel about 16, 17 degrees of Gemini? Jupiter is about to conjunct Mars in Gemini, and I feel that Gemini is so verbal. Jupiter expands whatever it touches, and Mars is that inner warrior in the best and worst of sense. Our inner two-year-old, our inner adolescent, our inner hero. And that's being, and so that I think that the willingness to kind of jump into an argument is sitting right there. It's wonderful for the athletes in the Olympics, especially the airborne ones, because it's in an air sign, but also in that great debate that's going on all over the world right now in so many different fields. It does, unfortunately, inflame all real wars, and we have to kind of help send soothingness to general inflammation and watch that tendency to jump to the gun on any decision. But I'm also hoping it helps people speak their truth in good ways for the next few weeks.
Yes. And there is the huge moral on our work table, which is Gaza, West Bank, Palestinians, and people going, oh, don't forget this, you know, and people going, I wasn't on the genocide call. People email me, and I'm like, all right, okay. And, you know, backstage I'd mentioned to you going, perhaps it was a misstep of Kamala in her Detroit rally where there were Palestinian protesters that we couldn't hear, or Palestinian protectors that we couldn't hear. But she says, if you want Trump to win, just say that. Otherwise, I'm speaking. And I said to you, you know, an Islamic man I follow on Facebook, right, who was like, she just lost Michigan. And you said,
I said that I don't think she was saying I don't want to have that conversation, but that in order for me to have any say in that conversation, I need to get elected. Let's get on here. I was looking at what Mr. Zogby, founder and president of the Arab American Institute, said that choosing Waltz in favor of Shapiro suggested that Kamala is ready to listen. She said, this is not going to be the policy of Joe Biden. She's made it clear that in a number of ways, but she can't yet break away from her boss because she's still vice president. She said, we have every indication that she's going to turn a corner, and Waltz does not impede that corner turn. She says, with regards to demonstrators on college campuses, Waltz has said that he respects the empathy they've demonstrated at the suffering of the people of Gaza, and so has Harris has said that as well. And that she was the first Democrat to speak up about the rights for Palestinians to have a say in their own lives and future. So I thought coming from the president of the Arab American Institute, that was a good way of a framework for looking at what she was saying. Because Trump has said it very clearly that, you know, he thinks that Biden was a wuss and that he should have, you know, that was preventing Israel from finishing the job and taking out Palestine, which is what he should be doing. That was a quote from Trump.
Right.
So, you know, and I think her first job is to get in there.
Right.
Go ahead.
And we put this for all of us on our work dedication, our deep Saturn dedication. Ooh, always coming back to that. What is
yes.
our fundamental dedication? And the appropriate, like, you know, which is people are dying every minute. And going, so we may want to go backstage for necessary miracles, like opening portals, going, may against all odds something happen now would be great, you know, to stop the cruel carnage. And just,
yes.
You know, it's like the world created Israel, and it seems it's a group global decision to guide, bind, you know. And when Kamala Harris, you know, gave her a talk, and she laid out the peace plan, going, okay, ceasefire immediate, she said. And here's part one, you know, all Israeli troops withdraw from occupied cities, which, you know, okay, right? And then part two, completely, hostages exchanged, and then, you know, a two-state solution that the world will help to implement. Pretty good, right? And
yep.
then again, the snark team that is part of us, right? That I do. I hear them always. They're like, I heard that before, and I'm not impressed, and I'm not going to vote for her because of whatever. And I turn to Representative Roa from a Palestinian elected to the Georgia State House. We played some of her clips last week. But she has the right, she has the earned right. She goes, this makes me so angry. When people say, don't vote, you know, it's all, you know, the system's a con, you know. And she goes, it makes me so angry because we've done a lot here in Georgia. And I look at all these influencers who are saying, don't vote, you know, and we have the moral high ground and it's all a con, you know. And she goes, all of them are living in blue states. She said, I checked this, where they will not receive, they will not be recipients of the horror that we will. In Georgia, right? So, and then she goes on. It's a great clip, and she might be our guest next week. We're seeing, but
Excellent.
Yes, I can hear the chi sucking, and I want to throw it into the cauldron, you know, where people go, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. A phrase I want to completely toss into the cauldron, because I know people who are survivors of Jonestown, and one, it wasn't Kool-Aid, and two, they hate that because the people drank the Flavor-Aid after their babies had been killed and force-fed. You know, anyway, so just in that phrase, it's a non-democratic moral superiority. I didn't, but you did, right? It's divisive.
Yep.
So I want to throw that into the thing there, so it doesn't continue to
Thank you.
Get anybody's goat, right? So we do, you know, for me, you know, that we can jump in anywhere. The story is, it's a never-ending story, and it goes all the way back to creation. And when did private property start? And I mean everything. But for our purposes, we're gonna start on the July 21st full moon just behind us, which was the day when Octavia Butler's novel, The Parable of the Sower, begins on that full moon, right? And that's that and the sequel is dystopian, in which there's a terrifying autocrat, but the person against him is a pale ghost of a good-hearted man. Who, anyway, and so it's like story rewrite, we're acting, we're adding an act five. And so when that full moon happened at 29 Cancer, 29 Capricorn, I was like, oh, this feels big. This feels like a big tide. Ooh. What do we all participate in seeing coming in on this tide? And I think the Cancer Capricorn is like the big mama quality of nature and the world coming in to guide and inform Capricornian structures of governance. You know, may it be so. You know, it's like, who
may
wouldn't
so.
Vote for that? Come on, team, you know, Ashe, let's animate that thing. So that was big. And that it does so resonate with James Baldwin, who was born after the new moon, August 2nd, 1924, who was because then we had the new moon. Then we had the new moon on August 4th, right? And that's why I was looking up James Baldwin's chart, Never Far Away, and going, oh, it's him. He's humming now. He's a Leo, born right after the new moon in Leo, which for us was August 4th, with and for us, Mercury stationing at 4 degrees Virgo. James Baldwin's Mercury is 4 Virgo, and that's my moon. So I just thought, ooh, James Baldwin. So can I invite in the first James
Please.
Baldwin clip? Is Okay, so here's our first James Baldwin clip. He's really offering guiding. This is his, I'm writing for people, baby. Here we go.
In a literal sense, you're writing for white people. Are you aware of that?
I'm writing for people, baby. No, I don't believe in white people. I don't believe in black people either, for that matter. But I know the difference between being black and white in this, and at this time. It means that I cannot fool myself about some things that I could fool myself about if I were white.
But more white people read your novels, I believe, than black people.
Well, black people may not read them, but they steal them. And they sell them the hot in bars.
You do spend a long time between novels. Why is that?
Well, I'm that kind of writer. There's no answer to that. You know, some people write, I wish I was George Simenon. Write them in 2 weeks, but I can't. And I, you know, everybody works the way he can work. I must point out, though, too, that I've been working in the last few years between assassinations. And that doesn't make it any easier either. I mean, they're killing my friends. It's as simple as that. And I've been all the years that I've been alive. For no reasons which, you know, which have any validity.
Why don't you just want to get away somewhere and sit down and write your books? Why don't you want to do that?
Because I'm better than that.
But you don't have to be better than that.
No, I do.
So you don't agree then? I mean, when people say, oh, it's okay for him, he's escaped.
What have I escaped? Where, anyway? Would I go to escape? To your country? Would I get a political asylum here? Where would a fleeing black man go if he wanted to escape? There may not be, you know, as much humanity in the world as one would like to see. But there is some. There's more than one would think. In any case, if you break faith with what you know, that's a betrayal of many, 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 many people. I may know 6 people, but that's enough. Love has never been a popular movement, and no one's ever wanted really to be free. The world is held together, really it is held together, by the love and the passion of very few people. Otherwise, of course, you can despair. Walk down the street of any city, any afternoon, and look around you. What you've got to remember is what you're looking at is also you. Everyone you're looking at is also you. You could be that person. You could be that monster. You could be that cop. And you have to decide in yourself not to be. The logic of despair is for me. You know, cut your throat, right? But something wrong, you know, someone who says he's in despair keeps on writing. Because a despairing man doesn't write. Anyway, it's too easy, it's too fashionable. I'm aware, you know, that I and the people I love may perish in the morning. I know that. But there's a light on our faces now. If you live under the shadow of death, it gives you a certain freedom. So I'm perfectly happy, hard as it sounds, you know, and relatively free.
That's beautiful.
It's so great. And I just want to bring in how much he's dreeing his weird. Let's bring in weird. To dree one's weird, Celtic phrase, to play one's role in destiny. We'll come back and play with the word weird because we're happy for the work it's doing. But yeah, there he is, Leo, give rise, you know. And then his moon and Mercury in Virgo, and stationing Mercury in the sky is right on it. And it's like, I so admire him. In the sense of, like, oh, want to be like that. Because he's got this perspicacity and this sharp tongue and critical assessment of everything. He doesn't look away from anything. And its opposite, Mars in Pisces, include. Mars in Pisces is a warm-hearted church, social, right? And we go, right. You know, and his Mercury and our Mercury, all of us, is Irishman dreams of little people. But it's include, right, to be the medicine of having his Leo heart and deeply critical and insightful and inclusive with a kind heart. It's like that's the best medicine that we may all be aspiring to. He did it. He really did it.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love it when the interviewer says, "Well, why don't you just go write your books, you know, and retreat?" And he goes, "Because I'm better than that." Mm-hmm. Love that. Oh, you don't have
I
to
love
be.
That.
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Love has never been a popular movement, right? That we're just infusing
despair
this,
is lazy."
Right? Yes. Yes. No future in nihilism, right? No matter how hiply informed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Participatory. So critique and envision. Critique without vision is complicitous with tyranny. And he goes, it's the love of a very few people that keeps this world together, you know. And what you're looking at is you. The person on the corner is you.
Mm-hmm.
The monster is you. The cop is you. And then that really tosses it to us, to go backstage into the dream world and to Jupiter and Gemini, bless everyone, you know, when I was grumpy or, you know, Mercury square Uranus now for all of us, you know, and, you know, demons can leap out of our mouth if we're not waiting for the second or third thoughts. And it's like, right. But again, you know, going deeper. And I do love Jupiter's image right now is, you know, woman gives rousing speech on behalf of the earth. In fact, the earth herself is giving a rousing speech. And it does quintile Neptune. So the two rulers of Pisces, Jupiter and Neptune, curiosity and wonder, mm-hmm. are in harmony. They take us out of the tension of reactivity into like, well, what would we want to invite in? And if we don't know what to do, invite in what does. And cultivate critique into blessing. You know, may it be. You know, and again, I just to put things on our work table etiquette, you know, we're allowed to set in motion and spiral forth through the magic of radio and everything, any blessing of which we would be the happy recipients. So one I'm quite fond of is, may all humans have an increasing empathic experience of the effect of their actions on others. And then I take it in. I go, would I be willing to have that? You know, every styrofoam cup, every mean thing. It's like, yeah, sure. Let's go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Right? Do you like that one?
I do. I like that one. And I say that fits with what I'm seeing, you know, bringing it back to the chart of America. America just went through a beginning of a new 30-year cycle and the ending of an old one. And happened about 6 months ago in Pisces, which is asking us as a country for the next 30 years to develop that empathy, to develop that shared awareness of what we would, the effect of ourselves on other people and the effect of our actions on the group. And so I saw, you know, this new beginning that America, you know, it's a slow, soft new beginning, but it's a new beginning with empathy and a desire to dream. You know, the progressed moon is going to be conjuncting Neptune over the next 4 months. That gave me hope, and that I couldn't figure out why we had two candidates that were so appropriate for the last cycle and the struggles of that, but were not about this, that we're not part of the new cycle, because often you need a whole new change of personnel in your life. The people that are close to your heart stay with you when you go through a personal progressed lunar new moon, but often the people that were appropriate to your last 30-year cycle, I describe it, you've been sailing in the Atlantic for 30 years, you've just hit Tierra del Fuego, you're heading into the Pacific, you need new maps, new personnel, but everything you know about sailing still matters. So we're heading into this new cycle. We've just been born into it. Now it's got some feisty stuff coming up when the progressed moon goes into Aries in 5 months. And there's a few other pieces. But that, along with the very active sun, we've got solar flares. We expect to see them tonight here in Montana again. The sun has been much more active than we had than had been predicted. When the sun is very quiet, it's hard to get change moving. It was unpredictably very quiet during Trump's administration and during the pandemic. It lowers our resistance. So quite literally, disease tends to have a more ravaging effect when the sun is very quiet. The sun is now very active. It doesn't lower the amount of COVID, but it's been lowering the effect of it in the group, in the collective. But that's searching for new answers. I mean, the mid-60s, the French Revolution, the American Revolution were all times of very high solar action. And so we've got this ferment coming of searching for new answers. It doesn't always mean good answers, but searching for new answers, which is why another reason why I don't see us going back to an old way of being. And I can support the search for new answers. It doesn't mean the new answers have arrived. It doesn't mean these people are perfect, but I see the search for new answers and a real honest effort to find them. And that's my thoughts on that.
No, that's great. Yeah, and I'm looking at the progressions for the Sibley Chart of America. Thank you for guiding me to that. Many great things. Uranus overhead at the degree of aroused strikers surround a factory. Right. So it's like, all right, unions, this is good. Mm-hmm. Progress Venus at 5 Taurus, which is a cantilever bridge over a rocky gorge, finding a way, you know, a necessary miracle away across deep chasm. And its opposite Saturn, Progress Saturn, which is retrograde, no leader, the community is the leader, to Scorpio, volunteer party, volunteer house-raising party among Western pioneers, among community. So it's like a bridge to, you know, we just want this breathing room, right? The story doesn't end with the election, but, you know, it's like we're getting to the convention, right? We're getting to the election, you know, and then we're going to keep going, right? Because it's we're electing a story, and we want the breathing room to implement, you know, a culture of reverent ingenuity, you know, to come on in, you know, to inform and animate. And ongoing Pluto return for America, democracy or tyranny, take your pick. We go, right. But it does trine Neptune, again, the inclusive vision. And that's where, you know, Bernie Sanders loves Tim Walz, right? I have loved Tim Walz through his chart, right? Going, oh, you know, I was rooting for him, going, oh. And my political spiritual team was like, but even if it's Shapiro, we'll work for him with him. I'm like, okay, everybody can change. Okay, everybody can change. And we put another guiding principle. Expectation is the partner of disappointment. Okay. But willingness is the dance partner of life. And willing is such a great word, like willing like intending and willing like, hey, I'm available. So I was really willing for Tim Walz. And Bernie Sanders goes, look at Tim Walz. Everything I hold dear, he has implemented in Minnesota. Medicare for all, free college tuition for state residents, child tax credit, and it goes on like that. He's done it, and that's why Bernie is like, this is great, and he can talk to everyone. I do love the two dragon ticket, Kamala and Tim Walz, two dragons, and we go. Right, Ursula Gwynn says, those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmares of politicians. And we go, okay. So everybody's got, you know, a personality role. And again, I can hear the progressives in my head going, and it's like, right, we're all befoibled. And there's a larger story that will use us. You know, it's that and everybody, whatever we speak to in another person is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. So I'm impressed by Tim Walz. He is like the best of white people. It's like, oh, what a good person. And I like their camaraderie. I was looking at his Jupiter on her moon, right? Happy to support woman leadership. And he said, we brought joy back. That's very Jupiter. And again,
His progressed moon is right now at 16 Aries conjunct his sun, and so he's really shining. He's getting a chance to really express we think his progressed moon is. But he's just really taking on. He has that Venus at 2 Gemini, and Pluto came up to him and said, you have to speak your heart. You have to speak your compassion. You have to speak this year. And so I think he's doing a really wonderful job of that. Again, far from perfect, but everybody I know in Minnesota, where I used to live, is behind him. Yes, there is some that he has a lot to learn as far as Enbridge, and even Winona LaDuke said he's a great guy. He made a mistake on line 3, but he seems willing to learn.
We're going to come right back to that. We're just going to play a smidge of our break music of Stevie Wonder's Higher Ground, which they were playing at the Kamala Tim thing. So here we go, just a smidge of Higher Ground. Here we go. Whoa, okay, that's Stevie Wonder, and I hope everybody was undulating and dancing and, again, arousing woofiness. Again, our spiritedness, democracy depends on our vitality for engagement. So I'm here with longtime wonderful ally Heather Rowan Robbins that we are further opening the portals for the guiding mythological to suffuse what is cunningly described as the political, right? So here we are, and you can find Heather's many books and works and good things. I love you, her, so much, at Rowan, R-O-A-N, Robbins.com. Right. Yeah, well, we were back. Okay, addressing moral complexity. We want to address all those things. We're grateful
address
to these snarky... the snarky people within us all. Right. So the Enbridge thing, because... And I want to invoke my great ally, Evangeline from Minnesota, who in a call way back, and she was like, I'm not voting for anybody in the two-party system. It's all corrupt, it's whatever. Well, actually, I just heard Biden give his speech after the Supreme Court, and that was pretty good, and I'm giving him money. And then I was like, Tim Walz, and she goes, this was before he was chosen, and I was like, and she goes, yeah, the people of Minnesota are very grateful to him for being such a good guide through the George Floyd tragedy. Yeah, is that your understanding?
Absolutely. Even there's a great quote from Al Sharpton following that when he said Governor Walz tapped Attorney General Ellison to lead the investigation as a direct result of advocacy in the streets. So he heard the protesters. He said, Sharpton went on, I learned that he was a man who will listen and do the right thing by those he represents. A year later, justice like we have rarely ever seen was delivered for George Floyd, his family, and his nation. And it is pretty impressive when you see how he followed through on that. He really made an effort to make people feel heard. And that's what I see as an Aries, Mars in Aries, but Moon in Aquarius that he is, that he has that bravery of the Mars, you know, but he wants to really be inclusive and really see if he can listen to everybody who's here and do his best to represent them. He's got a lot to learn, but I think he seems to know that as a teacher. You know, several students pointed out their experience of him was he would stop and ask them questions and be truly curious about who they are and where their point of view came from if he didn't agree with it off the top of his head. So I really appreciate that. Now, he's both Kamala, Trump, and Biden were all born on full moons. Kamala on the cardinal full moon, so it's under stress, the full moon tends to go to their element or their modality, and so she tends to lead and look for new answers. Biden would hold center and not be knocked over, and Trump would change and sometimes change to fit what he thought would work. But he's got the cranky things in his chart, but he was born on that mutable full moon. And the beginning of the coming Democratic convention starts on a full moon. All their process was announced on the full moon. But Tim Walz has a nice sextile between his sun and moon. He's the one that can take it out of A or B, because people born on the full moon have the guts to handle conflict. They can get in there and wade in and deal with conflict, which is important, but they tend to keep everything polarized. They see it in A or B, and I can see one or the other. I can see mom or I can see dad, but I can't see both at the same time. And Tim seems to be very good at juggling different opinions and listening to the whole circle, which I think is going to add something to Kamala's approach and help us find a way out of this kind of tendency, the full moon. I love the bravery of the full moon, but not the tendency to see it always in conflict.
Right, which again, Trump born, I think it's a lunar eclipse full moon, the moon in Sagittarius. It's his own unintegrated feminine that may take him down. We like seeing this in evidence. And then just for the feisty full moon, or the who's an agent of the moon, I wanted to bring in Cori Bush. That full moon, she's born with the sun at 29 Cancer, the full moon on July 21st. So it's Octavia Butler's novel begins on July 21st. It's the full moon for all of us, and it's Cori Bush's birthday. She has a full moon on her birthday. So here's just a very short clip of Cori Bush being quite woofy.
So the thing is this, I don't think that anything, there is nothing that happens in my life that happens in vain. So if this happened, it's because it was meant to happen. And let me say, it's because of the work that I need to do. And let me say this. APAC, I'm coming to tear your kingdom down.
APAC, we're coming to tear your kingdom down. That's pretty exciting. I don't suppose she'll be invited to speak at the convention, but I'd like it, just for the fun of it. But there's, we just open things with her. But yes, APAC, I'm coming to tear your kingdom down. Right. And we're going to suck the G out of kingdom, right, and spit it out to where it belongs. And that leaves the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anyway, so that was pretty woofy on behalf of Big Mama. I love J.H. Jacobs' late ally saying a Cancer is just a Scorpio in a housecoat. It's a great astrological true joke. It's just wonderful. But also back to Representative Rua from Palestinian state rep in Georgia. She said, Jamal Bowman, and Cori Bush got taken down by APAC money. But she said, in Jamal Bowman's district, 740,000 people were registered to vote and 42,000 showed up. I liked somebody's commentary going, there's no such thing as swing states. There's just vote. Mm-hmm. Let's turn Texas blue. Let's vote. And again, it's not, I can hear, but the inner progressives in me, I have to take a bath, or I have to put on my cloak of living ducks. So there we go, so I can bless everything. But it's like, yes, everything in, you know, incremental, you know, long-term strategy, you never know, and then inch by inch, and yes, you know, Gaza is immediate, but what can we do? And again, dedication magnetizes opportunity. I think that's part of a Saturn-Jupiter square. Inner dedication, coming back to that dedication for what's truly best for all life. Come on in.
Right.
Come on in.
The whole
and then
world.
The Jupiter. Yeah. So thank you, Cori Bush. And what a great attitude. Let all, you know, be incentives for us to experiment, to become, to dree our weird even more fully. And then just back to the word weird. So I also got into some Facebook hot water because I was like, let's replace the word weird with, you know, kinky and twisted, right? And people said, weird's working pretty well. And it's like, fair enough, it is. And some people said that in a rude fashion and some in a good fashion. But point taken, all right? It's doing really well. Who's a good weird? Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And so I just like informing it that every time the word is used, there's in everybody's ear, there's a little psst, psst. You know, dree or weird, play your role in destiny. You know, your inner dedication will reveal the opportunity to play your role in destiny, to contribute to the goodness of the world, you know, to be what James Baldwin says, the fate of the world is held together by very few people, but who love each other across borders. And we go, yeah, that's really good.
With the word. I mean, the original weird, the weird sisters were the sisters of fate who spun the future for everybody and decided when to cut it. And these people who are weird speak the fate. They say sooth. And I would not want to give a soothsayer to Trump at all. So I don't like that word, but I understand why people use it, because they're bringing up the fact that something is out of whack here. Something is not in the normal pattern. And so I think I've seen people add kinky to weird, and then they specify what kind of weird they mean. So I'll take that.
Well,
I'll work with you on
well,
that.
Well, I was telepathing to Tim Walz, and he picked it up, because now he says, they're weird and creepy. Right, weird and creepy.
Okay, perfect.
But I myself, you know, somebody came up and was like, blah, 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 and I go, well, that's weird. So in the vernacular, it can go many ways, but we're just honoring it. Who's a good weird? Yes, you are. That it's also a word that opens portals between worlds, right? Mm-hmm. It's like may every time it's said, and then we want to animate what comes through those portals, right? You know, whatever anything up to no good may it be revealed, rendered harmless, and in the fullness of time be an occasion from Earth, because there's a lot of chicanery brewing, and psychic self-defense is an important theme. But let's turn to the convention, right? Because no matter what, no matter where you are or who you are on August 19th, 2024, it is wild. And a friend of mine was saying, oh, all the astrologers are saying, watch out and beware. I'm like, oh, the old fogey astrology. This is participatory. It's like so much to work with. And if we don't, then uh-oh. But if we dree our weird, all right, so let me just lay this out here. So it'll be the full moon, the sun at 27 Leo, the moon at 27 Aquarius, very close to the U.S. moon, right, now that you've guided me to the Sibley chart, and Uranus at 27 Taurus, it's a fixed T-square, and Uranus's image is a mature woman reawakens to romance. And we go, okay, we'll take that. It's a larger thing, regardless of gender assignment. Reawakening to life, feeling rejuvenated, recovering Eros, dropping an earlier image, getting over disappointments, being in a later phase in an ongoing drama, late blooming, earthy wisdom. We go, all right, we'll take that. So, it's got the Leo Pisces conversation, and Saturn and Pisces opposite Venus and Virgo. So it really does want to be an authentic dedication. If it's an authentic dedication to collective well-being, it'll work. And if not, you know, because that quincunx was in effect during the crowd source technology crash and also the Republican convention. It's like, so if you don't have deep dedication, then the internal chaos of Pisces is fully revealed in Leo, which it was, and in an ongoing way, you know, Trump's meltdown. But he does have chicanery and money, and I just want to bring in the Uranus part, which is in the earth. We're doing it all for the earth. A mature woman reawakens to romance. That's the earth too. And Uranus, you know, trickster, ingenuity, experiment. No category about success, failure. Just try that. Nope, try that. Nope, try that. Yes. And the last ideas associated with it are democracy, equality, synchronicity. And I love that life taught me, what do those have to do with each other? And events stage themselves to make it very clear. When we look down at somebody or up at somebody, there's no synchronicity, right? Which is why compensatory condescension, widely available, going, if you knew what we knew, you know, it glumps on top of the magic. But if we treat each other well, you know, backstage, equal democracy, not nice, because nice comes from the nescient, which means ignorant, but spicy and respectful to and fro, then it can be conversational disagreement, right? But fundamentally democratically equal, then synchronicity. So this is good news. The Dementors may have more lawyers and more money, but we, all of us, if we treat each other with respect, which means to look again, respect, then synchronicity, the right person, the right conversation, the right path opening, the right backstage contact to stop the shipment of bombs, the right, just all of that. So it's like inner dedication, outward here we go. And to have our cloak of living ducks so that anything that distracts us from that into the reactive snark or the reactive nyanya, and I go, snark is a very gummy fuel on which to run, kind of like tar sands. And then did we address the Enbridge pipeline? Yeah, let's bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's,
what would
that's
you like to add about
like,
that?
Mm-hmm. Well, just the idea that I guess you did mention it. When Luke said, you know, they'd already started to build it, and it's hard to stop. And he came in the middle of the thing, so he's a good person in a tough situation. And then I guess we just go. But soon, Governor, knock on wood, if the ticket wins, Flanagan was against it on behalf of her people. So I just wanted to emphasize that.
I think she will take it and run with it, and with his blessing. The tribe's response to Vance was, you know, he declared that Indigenous Peoples Day is a fake holiday that's not just designed to divide us, and that Christopher Columbus was great, and there are many other things that upset the Native American, Indigenous Americans. I won't say Indigenous people. I'm learning to take out America from speaking about Indigenous people, because that is a colonial term in and of itself.
No, actually, America is a Mayan word. I love this. I learned from some important.
It's not
scholar on the
after
show.
America
Vespucci. Vespucci land. Vespucci land. No, America is a Mayan word that means land of the winds.
Oh,
so
I'll take
we
that.
We can keep it as beautiful. It's long before colonialism. It's from the land,
excellent.
Right? Indigenous means that which is sprung from the land. So that's a word that, anyway. So back to you.
So
interject.
Tim Wald's first teaching position was on Pine Ridge, and he then worked with and brought in as his lieutenant governor the first Anishinaabe, a first tribal member. So I have great. I don't see him as not being engaged in this process. He has a good reputation. Senator Vance has a record clearly showing prioritizing fossil fuel interests, whereas Waltz has put in a plan that's even going to affect Enbridge to make to really make Minnesota gender neutral by 2050 and independent, I think it's 2040, and really making an effort to, that's why Bernie was backing him so intensely. So I do think that there is real hope for that. Yes, go ahead.
Right. No. And again, people change. We want to, you know, let us dissolve any limiting cartoons that we might have of others that are impedimental to collective good. And in turn, may we, you know, may they dissolve any constraining cartoons that anybody has of us too into the cauldron. So Tim Waltz, you know, used to brag, right, that he had an A rating from from the NRA, and now he has an F, right? So it's like he changed. Mm-hmm. And that's our job. You know, politicians are the sail, we're the wind going, you know, Obama said, I would have liked to have approved, you know, gay marriage equality, but I waited for 51%. We go, all right, mm-hmm. you're in that prison, but we will be the wind.
Mm-hmm. And that way it could not be taken out when he was taken out. I think he was very aware of that.
Right.
That if you do it by presidential decree, it's only as good as your presidency.
Ah, good. Well, there's a lot to know, and curiosity and wonder are crucial in cahoots. And then just what is your vision of the full moon, Leo, Aquarius, square Uranus, Mercury retrograde?
I'm quite excited about it. But one of the things I just wanted to touch back on, I'm looking at Kamala's ascendant, which is 24 Gemini, Donald Trump's sun is 22 Gemini, and Jupiter is at 20 Gemini right now. So they're interesting, you know, for her, it's stepping out into the big stage. Jupiter on your sun, it means you are suddenly seen as big. But it can also mean that suddenly you are free, as in you don't have a job. I just was seeing that on both of their charts. But I like that full moon. I feel good about the coming DNC. You know, the moon's going to be in Aquarius, oppose the sun and Mercury as it begins. Then it goes into Pisces in the next couple of days. So it looks like a real party energy at the beginning, where it's about the people. Often that full moon in Aquarius while the sun's in Leo is one of the best for gatherings, for big festivals, for that kind of exciting group energy. But we have at the same time that Venus-Saturn direct opposition at 17 Virgo, 17 Pisces square, 17 Jupiter, Gemini, but it's all in conversation. And I think some old friends, it's going to be a bit of a clash between the old guard and the new potential, but it can be a freeing one. With Jupiter there in that T-square, it can be a freeing one. Now, we see Jupiter and Saturn square whenever, which happens, you know, every 7 years or so, where the Republicans and the Democrats, or the expansive party and the contractive party, which hold, you know, it's a good tension that holds America fairly straightforward in the middle. But when they square off, you often get a real blockade. That's when the budgets sit in limbo and the government threatens to grind to a halt, is when Saturn and Jupiter are square, which they will be exactly on the day of but Venus is in there saying, with love, we can find a way through. With, you know, careful, thoughtful love, it's Venus and Virgo, we can find a way through. And I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. And I'm hoping that after the big party on the first day, they move into a more subtle discussion about how can we really be empathic? How can we make this coming make this coming election speak to everybody? And I hope they do let all protesters, all different points of view, have a voice and feel included in the possibilities. Not necessarily, we don't necessarily have answers yet, but the possibility of an answer needs to be there.
That's great. And I like that the part of the full moon dynamic, the moon's image is wise stewardship of natural resources, coming up with solutions to problems, technology versus ecology. It is a smart British anarchist who said, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology, which is very Uranus, Taurus, square moon, Aquarius. And it's like, I'd love it if somebody said that at the convention. We're just opening the portal. Let only those serving an apprenticeship to nature be trusted with technology. Let's just put that out there, at least subliminally, you know, in a backstage way for all of us. It's a good long bumper sticker. So we love that. And Jupiter and Gemini for everybody, right? So people say, oh, it's in its fall. You know, it's like, no, it's big ideas into understandable conversational vernacular. And I've been impressed with Tim Walz, how thoughtful. I mean, I've listened to many interviews and the three books he recommends, you know, by this Islamic writer as a French military. He's asked, you know, what are the three books you're reading now? And one is the secret, the, oh, I'm going to forget it, but I ordered it. The Secret Life of Men, is something like that. And it's by an Islamic writer, and it's a literary thriller. I'm like, that's really cool. You know, who can we imagine almost any other politician? What are the three books you're reading now? And a novel by Somerset Maugham. And we go, oh, anyway, okay, back to this. So there's to say big things. And I love him saying, you know, we don't have the Ten Commandments in the school, but every kid has breakfast and lunch, you know. And we
yes.
go, right, folksy.
Right, that's the Moon Aquarius. You know,
right, you know, folksy, you know, like the tradition of folk humor and goodness and true populism, mm-hmm. and prairie mm-hmm. populism, and may that quicken in the neighboring state of Wisconsin, you know, which fighting Bob La Follette, again, in a similar resonance, like Tim Walz he made real all of Bernie's, or many of Bernie's points, you know, Medicare for all and, you know, and free college tuition and everything, in the same way. Fighting Bob La Follette in Wisconsin is, you know, implemented in Wisconsin, a Republican he was, all of what later became FDR's New Deal. And we go, right, from the land, you know. And this is where we are different from the conventional news, but we're supplementary backstage. The mythic, come on in, land, and have a voice. Come on in, you know, ancestors, have a voice. Come on in, guiding mythology, that we can all be better than we are. So... Mm-hmm. Oh, this was very fast, Heather. This was a very fast hour. Well, I'll post the other James Baldwin clip in my Visionary Activist Patreon section. You can join for like nothing, and many other backstage notes. But anything else you want to say on our way out? Any woofy blessing?
Debate between Trump and Harris is going to be September 10th. The sun will be at 18 Virgo, opposed Saturn, and forming a grand square with the moon in Sagittarius and the Jupiter in Gemini. And I think that's a chance for some painful truth to really come out. I think that's going to be, you know, the moon will be aspecting both Trump and Kamala and Harris have a fire moon. And I think may truth out. The best of a Sagittarius moon is truth. The worst of a Sagittarius moon is we believe the truth we tell ourselves and we don't look for more truth.
We're on
so
our
may
way
the
out.
Real truth come out.
We're on our way out. Thanks so much to Roxy, who is a great board op apprenticing under the wonderful Kirsten Thomas. I'm Caroline Casey, and we will reconvene next week. Thank you, team. Woof, woof, woof. Invite in the desirable. Dedicate, deeper. Despair and depression too shallow. Go deeper. And then go forth to spread blessing. Woof, 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 woof. Thank you, team. Oh, yeah.